right. Well, today is, as I mentioned to the kids, this movable feast. We have feasts that are movable in the church calendar. It's one of the movable ones. It's called the Feast of the Ascension. And the Feast of the Ascension is a high holy day in the church. It actually landed on May 29th, but we get to move it. So we're celebrating it today, June 1st. And you may know that the Feast of the Ascension occurs 40 days after Easter, every year, right on the dot. And it always happens just before the Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, which we celebrate next Sunday on June 8th. The author of Acts explains to us in our readings today that following the resurrection, Jesus remained here on earth for 40 days, hence why we celebrate it then, and says that Jesus presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And so what we see in this part of Acts is Jesus is really wrapping up his earthly ministry, right, during these 40 days. But not only that, he's really preparing his followers to continue his ministry on earth, right? Because we get to become the hands of Jesus on earth. At the conclusion of this time, then, we read in the gospel how Jesus formally commissions his followers and ascends into heaven. But he leaves a promise. He says, before he goes, there is the promise of the Holy Spirit yet to come. This is what he means when he says, you will be clothed with power from on high. Isn't that a beautiful image? We are clothed with power, with the Spirit from God. And then it says, at the moment of ascension, Jesus raises up his hands to bless his followers, which is why we in the church still do that, you know, at a blessing. We lift up our hands, just as Jesus did in this passage. And the gospel says he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. Or the book of Acts talks about it as a lifting up, right? And you'll notice we encourage each other to be lifted up. We invite you to lift up your hearts, right, at Eucharist. This lifting up is the ascension, ascending up into the heavens with Christ to God. Now, why didn't the story just end there, right? Well, Jesus is done. He's done it all. Now he's ascending to heaven. It's a pretty good ending. It's a pretty dramatic ending, right? Like, cool ending to the story. But of course, it doesn't end there. You know why? Because there's still more work to be done, right? There's more to be done. There was then, and there is now. The story of Jesus, and then ultimately then of the church, Christ's arms and hands and eyes in the world, is still being written. This story isn't finished yet. It is going on today. You, each one of you, are a part of the Jesus story. It didn't end there because Jesus called all of us, all of those who follow him, to continue his work in the world. And so we are inheritors of their witness, of their work. And then we are called, did you notice what you were called to do? To be witnesses. To be witnesses ourselves. So Jesus' commissioning applies to us, just as it did to that first group when they received it nearly 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So we, you and I, we are those people at the ends of the earth. I mean, imagine, San Diego, California, is like definitely the ends of the earth if you're in Jerusalem. And could you also imagine that Jesus, or that, you know, that God had us in mind that day? We here at the ends of the earth in San Diego, 2,000 years later, that's us. We have received the commission. We have received the promised Holy Spirit as well, which means that we are called to be witnesses. But what are we to witness to? And how can we be witnesses today? How can we do this? I think it's an especially important question for graduates, right? I mean, we are going to be blessing and honoring graduates. Every time you have this new threshold in life, a new transition, you're going to be in the midst of a whole new context, a whole new way of being in life, and you get to find new ways to witness to the good news of God in Christ. So how do we do it? Now, it sounds a little daunting, right? At first hand, perhaps. But I don't think it is. I think being witnesses starts with a very simple question. What has God done for me? What blessings or healing or supports or grace or saving work has God done in my life? In other words, where have I seen the hand of God in my life? Now, if you just take a moment and think about that, I'm sure you can come up with all kinds of examples of all kinds of ways you've seen God working in your life. And as Episcopalians, I'm going to encourage us, we need to do this. We're pretty good, it has been pointed out, that we're pretty good at showing our faith in what we do. We like to serve, we like to help. Maybe not as good with our words, sharing our faith with our words. So let me just suggest this is our growing edge, and we can do this. We can do this. We can become witnesses. Now, that doesn't mean that we arm twist people. No arm twisting needed at all. But we are witnesses to the good news when we simply share our personal experiences of God's grace in our lives. When we share that with loved ones or friends or just those in our path. And it really is that simple, and it really is that beautiful. Because we shouldn't keep the blessings and graces of God in our lives a secret. They are meant to be shared. Whether we're parents or grandparents or godparents, a partner, a spouse, a friend, a coworker, a family member, we can all lift one another up with our stories, with our witness to God's work in our lives. So in the spirit of lifting up on this Ascension Sunday, I would like to witness to one event in my life among many of God's grace as I have experienced it. It took place in 2001. I was a young adult. I had become very ill, and I was taken to the emergency room. And during a bunch of tests, that were really strange and confusing, they finally let me know, well, what's going on is you have a large tumor. And when we say large, we mean it's taking up over 50% of your entire torso from your heart to your legs. These images were really strange, showing them to me. And what they said was, this looks like a form of invasive cancer. It also appears that it has grown and is encroaching into several of your organs, which is why you don't feel well. They did some more tests. You know, they did the whole, oh, it's all inconclusive. Inconclusive. But the surgeon, I remember he said to me, I am 85% sure this is what is called a liposarcoma. And we need to really talk, because if it is what I think it is, we're going to be doing probably many invasive surgeries. When we go in there, we're going to have to remove parts of your organs, parts of your intestines where it appears it has encroached. And we need to talk about long term, because we're looking at a premature end to life. This is what I was dealing with and thinking about. And so the grief that I felt was just overwhelming, like trying to come to terms in my 20s with this idea of how long do I have to live. And I had a lot of grief. I had a lot of nightmares. I remember yelling at God. I thought, well, I'll never have children. I will never get ordained. What's going to happen? So, of course, I did what a lot of us do. I asked everybody I knew to pray for me. It just spread. You know, I was on prayer lists all over the country, in churches from east to west. I was on prayer lists outside the U.S. internationally. These prayer chains were activated, cards were sent, prayer blankets were received. Like, it was just amazing. It was overwhelming. In fact, I remember my paternal grandfather sent me a statue of a saint, Saint Peregrini, who's the patron saint of cancer patients, who, to my knowledge, had never shown any real interest in things of the church or faith. And it was just so moving to me. And so this outpouring of love, this outpouring of support was just incredible. And I can only say what probably many of you have experienced. I felt the prayers of the saints of God. I felt those prayers when I went into that surgery room, into the operating room. I knew God was with me. I was not alone. And the church supported me. The surgery, of course, was anticipated to be very long, and I had no idea what would be for me on the other side when I woke up. So I won't ever forget the moment I woke up. And I had medical staff standing over me, just grinning from ear to ear, telling me how that operating room broke out in cheers and applause. Because when we got in there, it was very clear, this is not cancer. We're doing the pathology, we'll let you know, but it was very easy. All of your organs are intact. We believe this tumor to be benign. We think you're going to be okay. Indeed, the tumor was benign, and I was going to be okay. And I, God willing, realized that I had the rest of my life yet to live. It was still ahead of me. All I could do for weeks was thank God over and over and over again. And I promised that I would spend the rest of my life serving God because God had given me my life. I was ordained 2 years later. Dear ones, never be afraid to share your stories of God's grace. They don't always come in a big healing or a big moment. They come in little ways, in small ways, in medium ways, in all ways. When we say, when we sing, lift up your hearts, and we respond, we lift them up to the Lord at Eucharist. Remember that every day can be an Ascension Day. Every Sunday is Ascension Sunday. Every day we can ascend with Christ in our hearts for the blessings God has given us. We can draw nearer to the one that loves us, that will never leave us, and has blessed each one of us in innumerable ways. So lift up others by your witness. Testify to God's amazing grace in your life. Thanks be to God.